Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. It's November the 6th, 2013, the day after the election. Joining me on the other side of the glass, Rosemary Brandt, our producer, who is always willing and able to take your calls on our live line at 790-2040. We have a full agenda, as usual, this noon hour. Brad Nelson joining me in studio. He is Pima County Elections Director. We'll talk about changes in Pima County's voting system. 20 minutes past the hour, health concerns over something called dry needling. That is a form of acupuncture being performed by physical therapists, and some folks have a concern about that. And at 30 minutes past the hour, we will spend a half an hour with a living legend. His name is Bob Shelton, a pioneer in Tucson's rich history of filmmaking. Bob was really in the glory days, overseeing what went on at Old Tucson for some 30 years. All of those great westerns that were made out there. We'll talk to Bob about movie making in the old Pueblo. Again, 790-2040 for your comments for the Buckmaster Show. And again, we invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 3,000 friends. We're just about 30-some friends shy of that number. We'd like to hit 3,000 by our three-year anniversary of this program on January 3rd. Of course, yesterday was Election Day, and joining me in studio is Elections Director for Pima County, Brad Nelson. Brad, how are you?
I'm very glad to be here, and it's a pleasure to be speaking with you and your audience.
Thank you very much. Tell me how it went yesterday. What was under the county's portfolio of the elections? And it was a very limited slate of what was available, but what were you overseeing yesterday?
The Pima County government was in charge of running elections for the Catalina Foothill School District, the Sunnyside School District, the Alter Valley Elementary School District, and the incorporation election that took place in the community southeast of Tucson known as Vail.
How about Sunnyvale?
Sunnyside.
Sunnyside, excuse me. Yeah. So that was that like a contract deal, or
right.
How does that work?
When a local school district wants to conduct an election, it's actually performed with the direction of the county school superintendent's office. So if, for example, Sunnyside wants to conduct an election, they inform the county school superintendent. Then a contract is drawn up between the county school superintendent and my office and the county recorder, who is in charge of voter registration, and then we administer that election on behalf of the school district.
Now, something new was tried at the during the Vail incorporation election. What was this new technique or new technology that was incorporated?
Well, historically, when a person went into a polling place, whether you were at Vail or elsewhere within Pima County, for example, during the last presidential election, you walked into the polling place and you presented yourself to the poll worker, and you provided them usually with your photo ID that was often the driver's license, and then they would look in a roster that was maybe the size of a telephone book for your particular name. In Vail yesterday, at the four polling places that existed, instead of those rosters was a tablet, in this particular case, an iPad that had the voter registration data on it. When the voters walked in, still the same procedure, they showed their driver's license, but then that driver's license has a barcode on the back of it. It was scanned, and that person's information from the voter registration file came up automatically, like the snap of a finger. They were then able to sign on the tablet, similar to doing a transaction at an election, or pardon me, at a department store. And it just was a pleasure for both the poll workers and I understand the voters as well to go through that process. The lines were non-existent yesterday.
Were there any kinks that need to be worked out?
I don't think so. One of the things that may have happened to some of your voters in the past is they would perhaps go to an election site on election day and find out they were in the wrong place. One of the things that this tablet provides for, if you do go to the wrong place, it will tell you the proper polling place to go to. In the past, there would have had to been a telephone call to the recorder's office to find out where that voter was supposed to go in order to cast their ballot. So it even helps out in that situation as well.
Brad Nelson is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a comment or question for Mr. Nelson about Pima County elections, mail-in balloting is really, it's here to stay. It's not only the way of the future, it is the future, Brad, as you know. And the Pima County election equipment is aging. It's been a while since there's been a major overhaul. What's the next step that Pima County needs to take?
Well, it's been in the process for a little while. We purchased our equipment here in Pima County in the late 90s. It still goes through all kinds of logic and accuracy tests to make sure that it's still accurate in doing the count that it needs to do. But the software and the hardware is as old as the late 90s technology was, and we're looking for something going into the future. And when I say we, it's going to be a citizens' effort. The Pima County Board of Supervisors has a Pima County Election Integrity Committee, which is made up of 10 members. They will be reviewing some of the possibilities as we go forward. But one of the things we're looking at seriously is as we appear to be going more and more to a mail ballot format, does it make sense to provide as much information out there in the precincts as we have done in the past? During the Vail election that just occurred yesterday, individuals still received the optical scan ballot as they always had in the past. But instead of that scanner that was used on election days in the past, which is getting old, they just placed their ballot into a secured, sealed ballot box. That box was brought back to a central location, and the ballots were counted that evening. So election results are still going to be part of the count on election night, but there's a possibility that going forward there won't be that scanner at the polling place.
Will it make for quicker results?
Well, one of the things that was kind of interesting yesterday is that Vail was actually one of the very first precincts of the four precincts available on election day for election night. So at 10 o'clock, the very last reports that we gave were from the Catalina Foothill School District. Vail actually came in a little bit quicker, even though they didn't have scanners at the polling places.
What kind of a cost investment are you talking about?
Well, right now, to replace the system that we have, piece by piece, putting brand new scanners out into the polling places, and we'll probably have maybe 250 polling places for the 2014 election cycle. Each one of those scanners going forward would cost about $5,000 a piece. So 5,000 times 250, that's a lot of money going forward. If we just go with a central count piece of equipment, as we are perhaps going to do, then the investment is much, much smaller at that particular point in time.
Are other jurisdictions, other counties, do they have better technology than we have?
Well, within the state of Arizona and indeed across nationally, everybody wants to make sure that the equipment that they purchase to count elections does so accurately. After the 2000 election cycle, the Bush-Gore cycle, the federal government basically came in and said states can voluntarily come up and use a federal standard of election equipment integrity. And what it was is the federal government certified several independent laboratories, and then election vendors took their software and their hardware to these individual laboratories and got them tested to federal standards so that states and other jurisdictions would know that these have been tested at the highest standard here in the federal government. Then states could use those certified pieces of equipment to purchase here in the state of Arizona or elsewhere. So it goes through several of those processes. Within the state of Arizona, we can only buy systems that are federally certified, and right now that number is very, very low. But other states across the nation are even thinking of developing their own systems in-house. That might lead to some cost savings, but it also maybe doesn't lead to the best of systems since they're not tested nationwide.
Are there some areas that around the country that you would point to that are doing it the way you think that maybe we should be doing it?
Well, the state of Florida, for example, they have their own state certification system that actually uses, I believe, systems that are even higher than the federal standards. Certainly Florida was in everybody's focus after the 2000 election, and they wanted to make sure they got it right going forward. But that's probably the one that has the leading standards right now.
With the mail-in ballots, these can be dropped off. They have to be dropped off at designated places, correct?
All right. Okay. What the state law allows for is that a mail-in ballot that's issued, say, from a Pima County recorder or from the Tucson City Clerk can be dropped off at any polling place on election day. So, for example, yesterday, if I was a resident of the Sunnyside School District and I had received my ballot in the mail, I could have been perhaps out in Vail when they were having their incorporation election and dropped my Sunnyside ballot off in Vail or vice versa. And then we would exchange those with the appropriate jurisdiction thereafter. But it had to be within the counties. And I'm not certain whether there were elections elsewhere in the state of Arizona, but let's say there was an election up in Casa Grande up the road. We would not be able to receive their ballot because it wasn't issued from a Pima County jurisdiction.
Or if you happened to be up in Phoenix yesterday where they were having elections for city council people and say, oh, I forgot to drop off my Pima County ballot, you couldn't really drop it off in Phoenix.
That is correct.
Yeah. So what's the timetable for all of this, these changes?
Well, certainly we are beginning the process of drawing up bid specifications to find a vendor out there to get new equipment. The next scheduled election isn't until August 2014 when we'll have our primary election here in Pima County in the state of Arizona. So we are hoping to get something purchased, tested, and ready to go prior to that election. So we've got some time.
How about workers at the poll? That's always polling place. It always seems to be an effort to get enough people, or is it not that big a deal anymore?
It certainly is an effort in certain parts of the county. State law requires that there be a mix of political parties who serve at polling places. In some areas of the county, you couldn't find a Republican to save your soul, and others you can't find a Democrat to save your soul. So we have to have poll workers that are a mix at the polling place. But through some of the training that we've done and some of the equipment that we've provided, they are getting better and better at their jobs. And as I mentioned earlier, we're reducing the number of precincts because of mail ballot voting. And so we are needing to recruit fewer poll workers going forward.
Brad Nelson with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is the Pima County Elections Director. So the big gear up will be, of course, for the election, the congressional election, coming up, the off-year elections in 2014. So is it possible then to have this new technology in place for 2014, or would that be pushing it?
I think it would be very possible. Certainly, we don't want to purchase it and have it installed at the last minute. We want it to be able to be delivered, acceptance tested, and have our staff trained on it, and have the political parties come in and be part of that process too.
How about security with this new system?
I think, needless to say, I was saying that the technology we have now is late 90s. I think there's even better integrity and security in the systems that are out there now.
Okay, Brad Nelson, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I know you had a long night. Election night for elections director is always a long night, right, Brad?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Stop by the Rug Gallery showroom and see one-of-a-kind new and antique quality rugs during the 26th anniversary sale now underway. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. An organization called the Coalition of Arizona Acupuncture Safety contends that people are being injured during the so-called dry needling sessions performed by physical therapists. The Coalition of Arizona Acupuncture Safety is a nonprofit founded to build awareness on what it claims is a serious health risk. Joining me in studio here on the Buckmaster Show, Della Estrada. Della is a licensed acupuncturist, has been so for 23 years, and a founding member of the Arizona School of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine here in Tucson. And she is a member of the board of directors for the Coalition of Arizona Acupuncture Safety. Also with us is Ross Edelman. Ross is a consumer member of the State of Arizona Acupuncture Board of Examiners. Ross and Della, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me begin. I think, Della, I'll ask you this because you are a licensed and practicing acupuncturist. What is dry needling and what are some of the dangers of improper needling?
Let me first define acupuncture, and then that can help lead into defining dry needling. Acupuncture is the insertion of a fine, solid needle into the skin to evoke a therapeutic response.
What kind of response would be, what would the modality, what would they be trying to accomplish with that?
Well, if there's pain, you want to reduce pain. If there's, gastrointestinal problems, you want to relieve that.
Okay.
So the different, there's different techniques that are done in acupuncture. And so this so-called dry needling is actually one of many acupuncture techniques. The licensing requirements for acupuncturists in the state is 1,850 hours, and it is regulated by the Arizona State Board of Acupuncture. Dry needling, as I said, is actually an acupuncture technique that was discussed in 900 AD by a famous physician. Of course, it's never been called dry needling until the new label it's been given, but it is a technique in the practice of acupuncture.
And quickly, Ross, the dangers of improper needling?
Yeah, there's several. So, and before I go into that, so I'm a member of the Acupuncture Board of Examiners. There's many boards and commissions that the governor has, and it's a consumer protection board. So our number one mission is protection of the consumer. The Physical Therapy Board, we would hope, would take the same venue because that's why they're to be, you know, regulating and overseeing. And that's the difference of opinion, is that what they're doing is actually acupuncture, and they're doing it out of scope, very minimal hours, and there's a big concern here for the protection and safety of the consumer. If not done properly, and I've had a lot of acupuncture treatment, it really can cause serious injury and harm.
And who is policing these?
So the two boards are really supposed to be managing and overseeing their scope of practice, and hence is the rub that the Physical Therapy Board feels it is in their scope of practice and it is not. And the Acupuncture Board is saying you're working outside your scope of practice, therefore you're a violation.
Who can step in to regulate the physical therapist, Della?
Well,
I mean, they regulate themselves, correct? Self-regulating?
Well, according to what was stated at their meeting recently, they believe that their licensees can regulate themselves. They don't set minimum requirements of study. So in reality, they're not qualified to determine if their licensees, you know, have the proper training and should be practicing. So it would still fall under the realm of regulation by the Arizona Acupuncture Board, not by the Physical Therapy Board.
Would the board, Ross, over the Acupuncture Board, could they step in to take action against the physical therapist?
Well, and this is the disagreement, and it's gone up before the Attorney General's office. Each board has their own lawyers from the state appointed.
So this thing's become a big legal mess.
It has.
And we've
attempted through a proper procedure to get the Physical Therapy Board to at least follow the rules and do the right thing legislatively. We would, of course, help them because there are other healthcare modalities that do perform acupuncture. And over time, and under Della's watch, those practices and procedures were set up, such as with the medical board, chiropractic board, naturopath board. They all have the proper hours and training to safely administer this practice.
How many hours would you suggest the physical therapist go through?
I'll let Della answer.
Della,
that
how many?
That hasn't been determined.
But how many are they getting now, generally?
Oh, well, now they attend a weekend seminar.
A weekend seminar?
They attend a weekend seminar, generally 14 to 24 hours.
And then
they are sent out to start inserting needles into people without clinical supervision. They're on their own. And that's it. There's no requirements. If they do it, The board has stated that it is incumbent upon their licensees to know what they know and to know what they don't know.
There's been some horror stories, though, Ross.
Well, there have. And presented to our board have been several complaints. We also search out other states of examples where people have actually been injured by this. And, of course, my message today is to the consumer, buyer beware. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a physical therapist and they're not trained in acupuncture and they've only had a 14, 16-hour course, I would not allow them to stick needles in me. That should be really fall to the trained acupuncturist.
There were some cases, though. There's some possible serious risk.
That's correct.
I mean, what were some of those cases?
So the cases that we have, of course, I can't talk about those because we're still in the process.
Give me generally what type of thing.
Well, Della?
Yeah, there's been a couple cases of pneumothorax. And that's one of the risks involved is the puncturing of an organ. I heard of another case of someone whose kidney was punctured. And so aside from that, there can be contusion, severe bruising. The adverse effects can occur internally.
Okay. So I think both of you, the message to the listeners here is while this is tied up in the legal system, you're saying, Ross, you said buyer beware on this.
Absolutely.
Educate yourself on this.
Be a good consumer and make sure if your physical therapist wants to practice dry needling that they show you and post you their training requirements. If it's anything less than that of an LAC, hours, I would not allow anyone to stick the needle in me.
Is there anywhere folks can get more information?
Yes, they can go to the Arizona State Board of Examiners for Acupuncture, and there's plenty of information on this topic.
Okay.
We also have a draft resolution that the board agreed and explains this whole process.
Okay, Ross and Della, thank you very much for
thank
sharing
you.
Thank
of
you
the
very much.
Thoughts on this. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Congressional Republicans who are criticizing the new health care law are shifting some of their focus away from the troubled Obamacare website and onto issues of security, cost, and coverage cancellations. Bill de Blasio says New York Mayor Bloomberg had a lot of good advice when they met for about 20 minutes this morning at City Hall. Last night, de Blasio was elected to succeed Bloomberg come January. The leader of Washington State's successful effort to legalize same-sex marriage is poised to become the next mayor of Seattle. In early returns counted last night, Ed Murray led incumbent Mayor Mike McGinn by a 56-44 margin. An American man who hijacked an airliner to Cuba almost 30 years ago is back home in the U.S. face justice. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Immerse yourself in the wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Viasphere 2 at a 36% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass will be available for a limited time and is brought to you in partnership with UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit these science wonders today with the new UA SciPass.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Monday, November 11th has been declared Bob Shelton Day in the city of Tucson to honor Mr. Shelton, who will receive the Lofty Lifetime Achievement Award at the Loft Cinema Film Festival on Monday at noon. Bob Shelton is a living legend in the Arizona film industry and a pioneer of the Old West movie making. Mr. Shelton was involved in the production of more than 300 movies and television shows between 1959 and 1985, TV series at Old Tucson during his 30 years overseeing that property included High Chaparral, episodes of Bonanza, Gunsmoke, and Little House on the Prairie. An actor himself, Bob was the driving force behind Tucson's film industry, which at the time was second only to Los Angeles for production activity. His films include McClintock, starring John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara, and Bob Shelton himself. El Dorado, directed by Howard Hawks, and starring John Wayne and Robert Mitchum. Hombre, starring Paul Newman and Frederick March. Dirty Dingus McGee, starring Frank Sinatra and George Kennedy. The Man Who Loved Cat Dancing, starring Burt Reynolds and Sarah Miles, and The Outlaw, Josie Wells, directed by and starring Clint Eastwood, just to name a few of the films that Bob Shelton has been involved with. Bob, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to see you again.
You are looking fantastic for, 92 years old.
Yeah, well, on occasions like this, I rent a body. I take it back after the program's over.
Tell me, how did you first wind up in Tucson, and how did the whole thing begin for
you? Well, I used to, I had a friend here, Jack Goodman, who is an old-time pioneer-type guy. He owned ranches. He owned hotels downtown. His father was a big land buyer here. Anyway, Jack's home base was Kansas City, where I lived. And we started up a polo team back there in Kansas City with a banker friend of mine. And Jack was playing polo out here in the wintertime.
Yeah, and the University of Arizona, for folks that don't know this, was really a world-class, had world-class polo.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you turned out some very high-class type of players that were here. Anyway, that was sort of our common thing. He would come back to Kansas City in the summertime with his horses, and then we would come out here in the wintertime because it was too damn snowy back there to be playing polo.
And what year was that?
Did we start it?
Yeah,
we started the polo team, I think it was in 1955, something like that.
How about the introduction for you to Old Tucson? What year would have that?
Well,
that
I used to come out here on a vacation, Bill. I stayed at the Arizona Inn two or three times, and I found a picture the other day when I was going through my collection with Jack and Charles Colburn, the actor, and myself. And we made a picture here called the Arizona something or other with Yvonne DiCarlo in 1949.
Wow. And of course, Old Tucson goes back to the movie Arizona, correct?
Yeah, well, that was 1938 and 39.
And that's why Old Tucson was built, right?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay. So then when you came in, what was the condition of Old Tucson?
Always used to say it looked out like bombed out Berlin, and that's exactly what it did. It was the buildings were crumbled, the roofs were gone, the floors were gone, the windows were out, and there was a couple of little stores out there selling pop. And most of the people that I spoke with about my wanting to do what I wanted to do thought I was crazy. I probably was, but it just luckily it turned out okay.
How did you get things really going, though?
Well,
what was the catalyst, Bob Shelton?
I had a little money of my own, not a lot, and Jack Goodman joined me, and I had two or three other. Jane Lowe joined us. Her family had a great history in the films. She lived here and was Jack's friend and became my friend. And I think we had about five original people that put up the seed money. And we didn't have a great deal because there was a great deal to be done. Yet we had to put in roads and toilets and repair buildings. Because the county never paid any attention to it until we came along.
But once the movie making began and the big stars like John Wayne and Paul Newman, and they started coming here, and they got to know Tucson. And Lee Marvin actually, I believe, lived in Tucson.
Yeah, I found him a house here years ago.
North of River, wasn't it? He had a place?
Yeah, he's up Campbell's Road, up above a river, maybe a mile or two.
So the TV shows during kind of the heyday of the TV westerns, Old Tucson was really kind of at the center of Western movie-making and TV-making.
Bill, we had several assets. One, we had great weather, and we had spectacular backgrounds. And then as we went along, we developed personnel. We had production employees here. We could staff an entire film with the departments, and that was in our favor. And then I got we began to acquire. I went to MGM and I bought 20,000 pieces of wardrobe at their auction. I bought their train. When Death Valley Days went off the air, I bought all their wardrobe. I just got very fortunate to be at the right place at the right time on some of those things.
And, of course, we still have great weather. We still have the potential here to resurrect this television and film industry. And that, to me, seems like a crying shame that we were not able to continue on with what you had built and right now make Tucson a movie-making capital.
Well,
instead, we've got movies going over to New Mexico where they're offering all these incentives.
Well, you just put your finger on it. It's incentives, Bill, because the industry started expecting cities to kind of appreciate them when they were bringing all these jobs and money in, and they began to develop a program to have a rebate for the taxes paid. Now, you take New Mexico, which is really the shining light right now. I used to kick their butts. They never got anything when I was in business here. I mean, you know, the company, it wasn't me. But yeah. They give 25 to 30% of the taxes paid back to the film company. Now, that's money paid in already, so it's not out of the treasury. But we have a legislature and a governor, and I hope I'm not saying the wrong thing politically here, but they're the ones that have choked off our incentive program. We offer them nothing now, and consequently, we don't have any business. I used to do $40 million a year in budgets with a film company, and we're down to nothing now.
Think
and
of
it's
the,
a
and,
shame.
And, you know, that kind of millions of dollars, what that was doing for our economy here in Tucson, because the stars, the actors, the crew, everybody would stay here and pump money into this community.
Well, yes, and it was good money. It was circulated throughout the community. They bought things, they rented things, the film companies, patronized restaurants and bars, and they bought clothes and whatnot to take back home. And we also began to develop our own breed of production people here, and that became an attraction.
Yes.
Instead of bringing, 150 people, they could bring 50 people, and we could supply the rest of them, and that was a big step up for us.
All right, our conversation with Bob Shelton, legendary Tucson filmmaker, will continue. But first, we want to tell you that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City offers a variety of galleries, historic buildings, fine dining, and quaint homes. Great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn. You can find out more. Go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th. The greatest journey you'll ever find. After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is my pleasure and honor to be talking with a living legend in Arizona's film industry. He is Bob Shelton. For over 30 years, he was involved out at Old Tucson in the long list of really the glory days of making Westerns on TV and on the big screen. Really, Bob was there when all of this was going on. And Bob, you knew so many of these great stars. John Wayne, I've got a great picture in front of me here with you, with John Wayne. You really became good friends with a lot of these people,
didn't
you?
Oh, he did. He liked Arizona very much because it had a couple of stanzas in his career when he made, you know, Stagecoach was really the kickoff of his career. Later on, 10 years later, he made The Red River. That was the second, and that also was a big boost to his career. Then he came in here, did Rio Bravo just before I got here, and then afterwards he made McClintock. So he made probably five or six films here, and he had ranches here, he had feedlots. And he was very pro-Arizona all the time.
Yeah, there are just the picture I was referring to that I'm looking at right now. It's just one of hundreds, maybe even thousands, of wonderful pieces of movie making and Western history memorabilia that you have, and it would be wonderful, a tourist attraction, to have this memorabilia in a place where folks could take a look at all of this stuff. And I know that you're kind of looking for a partner maybe to put all this together, a museum or whatever.
Well, I started a long time ago just out of the fact that I love the business, and I would work with a film, and maybe they'd give me a spittoon or something, you know, from the show, and I'd stick it in the storage room. And then suddenly I began to realize I was saving a lot of things. I think my collection goes over 685 items.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't include 400 motion picture scripts and 3,000 old Western photographs.
Which director did you like, being an actor, which director did you like working with?
Well, of course, the one that made the most motion and pushed everybody the wrong way was, what was the guy that
He was a real taskmaster. He was tough to work with.
No, he was an artistic kind of nut.
Oh.
And he did his first motion picture was at Old Tucson, and it was called the Sam Peckinpah. That's exactly right. And as you know, he went on to other fame with great pictures. And but he was a character, and I had breakfast with him every day he was there, and he always ate a piece of pie and a cup of coffee for breakfast. I always thought that was kind of funny, but that's what he wanted. But I think Howard Hawks would get my vote. I did three pictures with Howard, and he was such a professional, totally absorbed in his industry. And he and Wayne got along fine, and they made some really wonderful pictures.
Bob Shelton is with us. We just had a listener who wondered, Bob, do you have a biographer? Have you thought about a biography? And if not, you probably should. Have you thought about somebody to write a book about you in your life?
I've had two or three offers, and I one I kind of got serious with, but every day he'd show up, every week he'd show up on my doorstep and says, well, here, we need another 30 days worth of history. And I was busy, and it just went away. It's a good idea because I was here at a very special time, and I was fortunate to be that. And I have a lot of material that will eventually get into some sort of formal form.
Let me ask you about the kind of the heyday of the TV Western. Why that particular time in our history of this country do you think that Westerns were so popular?
Well, it's very simple. I think it's our folklore and it's our history. It was a form of violence that was tolerable to both adults and certainly exciting for children, gunfights on the streets and walking around with a gun. But we, you know, what happened to the industry, we outgrew that. I mean, you know, along came Schwarzenegger with blowing up buildings and helicopters and everything. And the contents of violence changed color, and it went up and up until, you know, what they do now to get your attention is they blow up cities and the world. And that was largely it. The element of violence in Westerns just couldn't hold it by having two guys meet on the street with a gun and shoot it out. It was a time in our history, you know, the business was filmed out here and it was seen in the eastern markets. And we did things here in films that they didn't see back there.
Okay, Bob, another listener just called in, wants to know whether you remember a gentleman by the name of Nick Hall. Mr. Hall ran the Santa Rita Hotel, the caller believes, and the caller believed that he helped gather horses for some of the films.
Mr. Hall did before I got here what I did after I got here. He was a wonderful man. He was a manager of the Santa Rita Hotel. He worked for Jack Goodman. And he went out and he just made it easy for film companies to come here and work. I had a little office dedicated to him at Old Tucson before our first fire, and that was destroyed. But I admired him very much because that film company would work all day in the sun, and he'd be standing at the door of the Santa Rita with margaritas waiting on trays for him. He was a promoter of the highest degree.
What was your favorite film that you acted in?
McClintock. Yeah. It was a wonderful, healthy... John Wayne and his family ran a very straight kind of a operation. If you weren't pulling your weight and you were drinking too much or you were not producing, you disappeared. And it was a happy film, and everybody enjoyed it and had a good time.
Well, the Loft Cinema has created the Bob Shelton Film Legacy Award. That's a wonderful award for Bob Shelton to honor Mr. Shelton's contribution to Tucson's filmmaking. Bob Shelton will be honored during the Loft Film Festival on Monday, November 11th at noon at the Loft Cinema on Speedway. Congratulations, Bob. That's really a wonderful award for you.
Well, thank you, Bill. It's such a pleasure to see you again. You were always one of my favorites.
Well, thank you very much, and it's great to see you. And I have to tell you, whatever you're doing, keep on doing it, because listeners, believe me, Bob looks fantastic. You'll be celebrating, I believe, your 93rd birthday in March,
right?
Coming up. So you're doing really well. Cool. And hopefully we will find a home for all of that memorabilia. You said there's over 600 pieces, really. And then
you said you had the
film. How many films did you have? About 400, you said?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow. So that needs to find a permanent home as well. Bob Shelton, thank you very much for being with us.
It was always my pleasure to be around you, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bob Shelton, our guest here on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests are presented with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water, and all of the guests like it, and we thank Culligan for all of their support. Coming up this afternoon from 3 to 5 here on this very radio station, it's the John C. Scott Show, and then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning from 6 to 8. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for joining us. On behalf of my friend, the legendary Bob Shelton, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.